Good morning. Today is Tuesday, August 18th, 2026. This is Sandy reading for the Talking Information Center, and I'll be reading from today's edition of the Lynn Daily Item. First article is called Floating Festival Builds Connections. The Floating Paper Lantern Festival this weekend will create a space for the community to come together and celebrate Buddhist and Asian traditions. The event has been organized by the Goldfish Pond Association, the City of Lynn, and the Kakrona Center to bring more spiritual involvement to the event, which the president of the Goldfish Pond Association, Sunil Gulab, said the organizers and volunteers noticed at the first festival. Last year's festival brought people of all races, cultures, and religious beliefs to Goldfish Pond for a fun and inclusive event based on the deeply rooted Buddhist and Asian ritual of crafting paper lanterns. The Kakrona Center, Inc. Secretary Johnson Mayo shared that the tradition is a big deal within the Asian community because it ties back to ancient days and times. The lantern represents hope, wisdom, and guiding light through darkness, Mayo said. Releasing them into the water symbolizes letting go of the past hardships by sending out wishes for peace, good health, and an opportunity to connect with ancestors. Gulab added that the majority of people know about Buddhism, but this event is an opportunity to learn more and to also create a larger sense of inclusivity in Lynn. Representing every cultural background is a challenge, Gulab said, but the community has shown it is possible. As a child of immigrants, Mayo said his family was largely focused on survival while he was growing up, and cultural celebrations like these can help people from similar backgrounds feel a greater sense of belonging in the community. These types of events are not just bringing us together, but it makes us feel welcome. It makes us feel appreciated, Mayo said. The paper lanterns are not the only attraction the organizers have put together. Sandra Corneau, the precinct captain and member of the Goldfish Pond, said the event will also feature live music. I set up two face painters, Corneau said. We have several arts and crafts tables that will be there. We're doing sidewalk chalk. We have boat races and a cornhole game. In order to cover all the expenses for the event, Gulab shared that they fundraised $3,500 for the festival and will close to, and with close to 1,000 participants joining in on the ritual, they will use this experience as a stepping stone to learn and expand for next year. The festival currently has around 35 volunteers, but the organizers are expecting more community members to step up during the event, which has happened at past events, Corneau said. People jumped in when we needed help making the lanterns, and it was remarkable to see the community come together. To further connect the Khmer traditions to the event, Mayo added that the Kakrona Center organized community members to dress in their traditional Khmer attire, and also dance groups made up of elementary and middle school students performing a blessing and a monkey dance, which he believes will help connect and build the bridge between differing cultures and practices even more. Gleb added that what he's most excited for at the festival is seeing Lynn's biggest strength in action, people coming together. Neighborhood festivals like this are vital because they build social cohesion, celebrate local culture, boost the neighborhood economy, and create a shared sense of belonging among residents, especially in Lynn, where we are a multicultural and multi-ethnic city, City Council President Coco Alasug said. The festival will take place this Saturday, August 22, at Goldfish Pond from 4 to 10 p.m. with a rain date of August 29. Those interested in volunteering to help participants create lanterns of remembrance and Hope can contact Goldfish Pond Association President Sunil Gulab at sunilgulab@gmail.com. State primary election early voting starts this weekend. Early voting for the state primary election begins this Saturday, with all eyes on the races for Senate and House of Representatives. The City Election Office at Lynn City Hall will be staffed with poll workers for those voters who wish to vote early from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, August 22 and 23, according to James LaManna, the Chief Elections Officer in Lynn. Voters from all 28 precincts in the city can also vote during normal City Hall hours from Monday through Friday of next week, LaManna said. The official day of the primary election will occur on Tuesday, September 1, at set polling locations from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. The polling locations include Shoemaker School, Sisson School, St. Pius Lower Church Hall, Marshall Middle School, Harrington School, Lynn Vocational Tech Annex, Lynn Vocational Tech Fieldhouse, and Breed Junior High School. Voting and the ability to self-govern is truly a precious gift granted us by our forefathers and should not be cast away, LaManna said. The City of Lynn election office staff and dedicated poll workers pride themselves in ensuring the integrity of every election. I urge every eligible voter in Lynn to take advantage of the numerous different ways to determine who will be our elected federal and state officials to lead us over the next 2 to 4 years. Portraits of Peabody, a perfect production. Approximately 150 people gathered at Wigan Auditorium at City Hall to take in the stories of their neighbors as the Portraits of Peabody Project put a spotlight on the people who make up the community. More than 20 large banners filled the auditorium, each featuring a photo of a community member alongside their story. The project grew out of Peabody Promise, the community initiative formed following the death of Jason Bernard last year. While much of the work that followed that has addressed anti-bullying measures, mental health, and suicide prevention, Mayor Ted Betancourt said those issues are also rooted in relationships and building a stronger community. People sharing their stories, sharing their thoughts, and how it all came together for them is really meaningful, Betancourt said. It really helps us all. Those stories range from accessibility, advocacy, and public service to entrepreneurship, resilience, family, and finding a sense of belonging. Mary Bruzizi's banner highlighted how she helped create Adventures for Angels Playground after discovering that her son Alec, who used a wheelchair, could not play at local parks. Bruzizi's and other families raised $150,000 to create the accessible playground at Lieutenant Ross Park. Decades later, Bruzizi said, after seeing children continue to use the playground is unbelievable. I'm proud, and I know my children are looking down on me, knowing that we did this for them and other children that are disabled, Bruzizi shared. From landscaping as a teenager to turning it into a business and eventually joining the Peabody Fire Department, firefighter John Marotta's story focused on the value of hard work. He said he hopes his story stands out as one people can relate to. It's not this tall mountain story, Marotta said. It's a regular story that anyone can really do. That idea was also at the heart of the exhibit for Claire Gerrish, whose banner mentioned her advocacy for children and families. Gerrish said seeing so many different people represented gives residents an opportunity to look beyond their assumptions about one another. We're really not so different, Gerrish said. We all have the same vision that we want to live, be happy, and just get along. She described the exhibit as a celebration of average people trying to do good things. The project was led by Healthy Peabody Collaborative Outreach Coordinator Sandy Drover, who helped guide a volunteer action team in creating a project that would uplift positive stories while fostering greater understanding and acceptance. "Our task is to just go out there and get to know each other," she said. "If we get to know each other on a personal level, maybe we'll stop casting assumptions about people, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act, and just recognize we're all human beings." The evening also became a celebration of Drover. Near the end of the event, Betancourt recognized Drover ahead of her retirement next week, which comes after 23 years of dedicated service to the city, and surprised her with a Portraits of Peabody banner of her own, titled Lifting Others Up. It recognized her years of community work and the relationships she has built along the way. Drover said she was completely blown away by the surprise. "It's the most fitting tribute. I just can't wait to really read it and process the emotions of tonight and that banner." Linner has 2 million reasons to celebrate. A Lynn woman is $2 million richer after matching the first five numbers in last week's Powerball drawing, while the Malden convenience store that sold her the winning ticket is celebrating a sizable prize of its own. Almasa Kajik won $2 million on a ticket purchased for the Wednesday, August 12 Powerball drawing, according to the Massachusetts State Lottery. The drawing featured a $1.04 billion jackpot, the eighth largest jackpot in the game's history. Kajik matched the first five winning numbers, but did not match the Powerball. Matching the five white ball numbers would ordinarily have earned her a $1 million prize, but Kajik had paid an additional $1 for the power play option, doubling her winnings to $2 million. She claimed the prize before taxes at the Massachusetts State Lottery's headquarters in Dorchester. Kajik told lottery officials she already has plans for the money, including purchasing a home in Massachusetts and another in Bosnia. The ticket that changed Kajik's life came from Robinson News Convenience, 1556 Eastern Avenue, in Malden, where manager Vimal Patel said the news had also brought some excitement behind the counter. "Somebody won from my store, so that's amazing," Patel said. The store will receive a $20,000 retailer bonus from the Massachusetts State Lottery for selling the winning ticket. Patel, who has managed Robinson News Convenience for approximately 10 years, said the money will be put back into the business. While the store has sold winning lottery tickets before, Patel said it has never sold one worth $2 million. Patel said much of the excitement comes from knowing that someone who walked into the store left with a ticket that would eventually be worth millions. She said she hopes the winner is someone who can make good use of the money and wondered whether Kajik may have been one of the store's regular customers. "I just want to say I wish somebody, a good person, can use the money," Patel said. "I'm glad somebody, hopefully a regular customer, won." Kajik walked away with enough money to put her plans for homes in two countries into motion, while the store that sold her the ticket has $20,000 to reinvest and a new distinction to its name. For Patel, after a decade managing the store, selling his first $2 million winning ticket was reason enough to celebrate. "Very excited," she said, "very excited." Saugus's tribute can serve for now. The $20 million lawsuit filed by Barbara Traynor, mother of Massachusetts State Trooper Kevin Traynor, who was killed by a wrong-way drunk driver in May, has continued with tribute being given a green light to continue serving alcohol for now. Tribute, located on Route 1 North in Saugus, is the restaurant that served the drunk driver multiple free drinks after hours before the crash. Most recently, both parties filed a joint stipulation and agreement to continue with the status quo. A hearing was scheduled at Essex County Superior Court in Salem for August 20, but the defendant's counsel was unavailable at that time, resulting in a rescheduling. To reschedule the hearing without prejudice, the parties agreed to maintain the status quo. This means that the owners of Tribute cannot voluntarily sell, transfer, convey, gift, mortgage, pledge, further encumber, or otherwise dispose of any interest in real property owned by him as of the date of this stipulation, according to court documents. The business also cannot voluntarily sell, assign, transfer, pledge, encumber, surrender, cancel, or permit the voluntary lapse of the alcoholic beverages license issued to it by the town. The status quo period also means that Tribute can continue to operate its business in the ordinary course, including the sale of liquor. Through the stipulation, Trainer has filed a motion for a real estate attachment against the owner, Paul Mongui, and a copy of the liquor license. As the trial continues, Tribute is also still waiting response from the Alcoholics Beverages Control Commission after a hearing on July 28th. Lynn Public Schools support Columbia. Lynn Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Molly Cohen has stated her support for Columbia following the deadly 7.4 magnitude earthquake on August 10. Cohen's statement provided residents and families with information regarding organizations that are accepting donations to rebuild, house, and feed struggling Colombian families. Cohen acknowledged how closely this natural tragedy has impacted the community of Lynn. "We have many LPS families who have relatives and friends in Colombia," she wrote. "Please join us in keeping those affected by this tragic event in your thoughts and prayers." The earthquake has now caused 285 deaths and 3,975 injuries. An additional 379 people have been reported missing, according to a national unit for disaster risk management. The organizations in support of Colombian recovery that Cohen shared include the Colombian Red Cross Cruz Roja Colombiana, AmeriCares, UNWFP World Food Program, Global Giving, UNICEF USA and UNFPA, UNCT UN Country Team, Direct Relief, CRS Catholic Relief Services, U.S. State Department, and World Central Kitchen. Lynn Water and Sewer issues a water ban. The Lynn Water and Sewer Commission has posted a mandatory water ban. Lynn has been in a critical Level 3 drought since May, and the conditions are getting worse with the stressed state of the reservoirs, reduced stream flow, and diminished groundwater supplies. The commission's statement reveals that these conditions create risk for the city's drinking water systems and environmental resources residents rely on. The mandatory water restrictions prohibit non-essential outdoor water use, including watering lawns and use of irrigation systems, no water being routed to irrigation in parks, playgrounds, and municipal landscapes, and the Gannon Municipal Course irrigation to be reduced to 40% of normal levels. LWSC Executive Director James Arsenal shared that full cooperation of all residents, businesses, and municipal departments is essential to conserve water in order to maintain proper drinking water quality. "Obviously, we need water for people to be able to drink and survive," Arsenal said. "Without water, it would not be acceptable. So we need to make it extremely important that we conserve as much as we can right now, especially in the dry season. Tips for conserving water include checking for leaks in hot water tanks, water meters, toilets, and pipes. Limit running water while brushing teeth and shaving. Reducing the length of shower time. And only operating the dishwasher and laundry on full loads. The LWSC statement mentioned that the public will be informed when restrictions are lifted. The raw art of calming city traffic. In Central Square, Lynn, laughter, music, and the sound of paint rollers on asphalt fill the air as youth participants in Raw Art Works Talent and Purpose program put the finishing touches on their largest mural yet. Raw Art Works received a $100,000 Asphalt Art Initiative grant from Bloomberg Philanthropies in the fall of 2025 to both design and execute a street mural in Central Square. After months of planning and painting, the mural portion of the intersection's makeover is complete, though outdoor furniture and potted plants will be added before the grand reveal in October. The application for the grant followed extensive research surrounding the unsafe traffic patterns in Central Square conducted in 2024, November 2025, and April 2026, according to Lauren Drago, Associate Planning Director for the City of Lynn. This, along with concerns about loss of foot traffic due to a closed commuter rail station, a stalled development site, and local crime, all informed the design of the project. We looked into what the city has been already working on, Raw Executive Director Rosario Rubiera Miñana said. Instead of coming up with something out of the blue, let's partner with the city. They've already been doing a few studies around traffic mitigation, safety, parking challenges, and so there's data that is backing up some of the needs of what we see in the city. Along with the mural, Jersey barriers block the left slip lane, cutting off one lane of traffic and leading cars to solely turn left at the light. The mural's design was constructed based on surveys sent out to community members, according to Lauren Muller, art therapist and head of Roz Womx Art Muralists, WAMX program. These responses were directly infused into the design during the mural's design planning that took place in June 2026. It was really important for the artists and just the community in general to make a piece of art that is really reflexive of the people that live here and the history, not just a piece of really cool art that doesn't really have any rooted relevance, she said. The design features a wheel representing GE Aerospace, seagulls, a sun, Lynn's native beach roses, and a brick pattern. The mural also includes historical faces relevant to Lynn, including Frederick Douglass and Lydia Pinkham. There are painted footsteps along the periphery of the mural to acknowledge Lynn's shoemaking history, along with the overall shape of the mural, which is formed like the sole of a shoe. It's not just a random mural on the ground, Drago said. We hope that it'll demonstrate a community ownership over the square, make it feel like a place that we care about and that we feel ownership over, and that it's an invitation to hang out. Though the mural is an exciting step for Central Square, Drago said it is not the permanent solution for traffic concerns. The mural serves as a pilot to inform the city for a project funded by Complete Streets that would reorganize the geometry of the intersection and change some of the sidewalks on the La Copa side of the intersection. Construction is potentially set to start in 2027. Drago said the impacts of the mural on traffic will be judged before the winter months to determine if the slip lane blockage will remain. This project kind of helps us learn, and then we'll be implementing a longer-term solution, she said. I think that's a strategy we'd like to try more in the city of trying these, you know, sort of, we call them like tactical pilots, and seeing how those work, and then using that to inform the more expensive, significant construction projects later on. Not only does the project aim to improve the lifestyle of the broader Lynn community, it also provides a sense of accomplishment and purpose to the teens involved in its creation, according to Agasa Osumheni, a RAW participant since 2018 and recently graduated high school senior. Osumheni participated in both the design planning of the mural and the painting portion. The feeling, like the satisfaction that you get from completing a project, especially a project as big as this is, it never goes away. You could do a million trillion more murals or art pieces and stuff, and the satisfaction you get from it just never disappears. Muller echoed this sentiment, explaining how art can be a crucial aspect of a young person's life. The art also proves back to the artist that their ideas are worthy, are important, and they're really capable of things that they put their mind and intention to within a group setting, she said. I like to say the kids are like magic ingredients. It's really them that can create the change and all the magic within that.